Hello, 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 everyone. This is Harrison filling in for Jake. Normally, this is a global group, so we're going to have a two-hour session of Stranger Waves. Happy May 8th. Happy Cornell Day. And I've been building up to this for a couple weeks, so I'm pretty excited. We're going to continue our little journey through the Spring 77 tour with my personal favorite show from that tour and probably my personal favorite Grateful Dead show ever. This is Cornell 1977. We're going to get right into it with the opener of the first set. This is New Minglewood Blues from Barton Hall. Enjoy. You are listening to 91.5 WMFO, Medford Trust Freeform Radio.
Thank you.
Okay, so y'all just heard New Minglewood Blues, the opener of set one of the Cornell show. I like that song a fair bit. It's gotten a few iterations over the years, even like changing names a couple times, funnily enough. But very good, high energy set opener. So if y'all are heads, y'all are already familiar with Cornell. There's not much I can say that hasn't already been said about it, but for everybody else, I'm going to run through some kind of basics of what makes this show such a big deal. So the show takes place in Barton Hall on Cornell's campus in Ithaca, which is actually just a gymnasium. It's not even a proper concert venue, which I've always found kind of funny, because one of the major reasons the show has become so legendary is because the actual tape recording from it is so good. It got, you know, trade around a ton, and that's kind of what led to its popularity, aside from the set itself just being great, but also just their quality of the recording. And I find it particularly funny that they got such great acoustics out of a place that isn't even supposed to really host concerts necessarily. So yeah, that's a fun little fact. Barton Hall is a gymnasium, not a concert venue. And the woman responsible for recording this show, Betty Cantor Jackson, is, I mean, crucial to kind of the whole Grateful Dead story. She's been with the band all the way since back in Anthem of the Sun, but is particularly important for this Spring 77 tour, because a lot of her recordings are kind of the basis for a lot of the official releases of these shows that have come out. And, I mean, without her, this show would not be as legendary as it is, and it's likely wouldn't have gotten fully released, because you hear the band talk about this show, and none of them particularly hold it in insanely high regard. They all kind of have said, like, oh, you know, yeah, it was another show, I don't really remember it. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But, I mean, Betty is just so important to this story. And she gets a good amount of credit, but I still don't think she gets all the credit she deserves. So the reason these concerts sound so warm and so colorful is because of Betty. So thank you, Betty. After Minglewood, there was Loser, which is great, but a little slow. We're going to try to keep some energy going in this set. And then followed by El Paso. And after El Paso is the next song we're going to play. This is They Love Each Other, another one of my personal favorites from this show. And basically what we're going to do is going to play a smattering of stuff from the first set, because much like the Boston show, the second set is where the heavy hitters are, let's put it that way. I'm gonna play practically the entire second set. I'm gonna remove the Estimated Prophet, because while I love it and it's great, and Estimated is one of my favorite Dead songs, we heard a version of it last week, and it's a bit long, and even though we have 2 hours, we still have to kind of fit it all within the 2 hours, and there's about an hour of material that I can't play as a result of that. But yeah, entire second set minus Estimated Prophet is what's going to be for basically the second hour of the show. And the first hour is going to be a smattering of stuff from the first set. I'm going to be a lot less talking in the second set too, because if you know the show, there's a massive, I think like 30 plus minute block of songs that kind of all fade together. And I don't want to, you know, break up the flow of the band. But yeah, this is They Love Each Other, Cornell 77. Enjoy. Thank you. All right, so that was They Love Each Other from Cornell. Beautiful song. Absolutely incomparable without Jerry singing it. I can testify. I've seen Dead and Company play it, and it is not as good. Up next is the first heavy hitter of the first set. And this would be, honestly, one of the songs I would pick to show somebody who isn't completely sold on the Dead yet or doesn't even like jam music and kind of present this as like a, hey, maybe you'll like this instead. This is undoubtedly the song that really got me into them. The more that I think about it, this was really the first live song I gravitated to and loved and played endlessly. And it, of course, is this specific version, not just the song itself. It still remains one of my favorite live staples. Absolutely hoping I get to hear another one this summer. It was one of the highlights last year. This is Jack Straw from Barton Hall. Enjoy.
Settle one old score.
Okay, so that was Jack Straw from Barton Hall. Absolutely incredible version. Great stuff. Love the trade-off between Bobby and Jerry in those. Always very fun to hear. Speaking of Bobby, he did an interview in 2017 with, I want to say, Rolling Stone, or if not Rolling Stone, a similar publication. And like I said earlier, he basically said, I don't even remember Cornell. And I don't think it was from drug use. It may have been. There's a reason why the show started to get faster in the late 70s. You can put that together. It's not very difficult. But he basically just says, like, yeah, I mean, I had a feeling we were hot that night, or hot at the start of the tour, but doesn't really remember much of Spring 77, and specifically Cornell. It kind of makes sense the more that you put it together, because the likelihood of this show becoming such a big phenomena, I think, is incredibly rare when you really think about it, right? Because it was mostly just open to students. Tickets were super cheap. It was held in a gymnasium in the middle of nowhere in New York. Because if you know anything about Ithaca, it is pretty isolated from everything else. And there's even a story of them, like, eating at a local restaurant near the campus and not being recognized by anybody. So it is kind of improbable that something like this has become such a big deal, because you hear about some of these other shows like Madison Square Garden or the Boston Garden even the night before, and it makes more sense that it would become such a big deal because it's a huge venue, right? But the size of Cornell and the weirdness of it and the fact that it has just become such a big deal endears it so much to me. And I can't really explain it any further than that. It's just strange that a show at an Ivy League college is kind of universally considered to be their best. It's funny to me when I think about it. And it's even funnier when you hear the band basically say, yeah, we didn't even know we were, you know, performing our best show, or we don't even really remember it. So up next, got the first 1-2 punch of the show. This is Lazy Lightning and this Supplication. And then after that, we'll do a quick PSA before we get into a pretty big one right after. But yeah, this is Lazy Lightning. It's going to go straight into Supplication, and I'll come back after that.
Yeah. was busted in Laredo, but for reasons that I'd rather not disclose.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer to use than alcohol. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting responsible marijuana smokers in America. And to learn what you can do to help, please contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORMAL.
The show was long and we were just sitting there and we'd come to play.
All right, so you just heard Lazy Lightning and The Supplication, and then followed by a little PSA from our friend Willie Nelson. Happy late 90th, still out there on the road doing his thing. Great to see. It was really cool. He did a 90th birthday celebration at the Hollywood Bowl, I think like last week, about. And it was pretty awesome. A lot of his friends came out. Everybody came out to sing On the Road again. It was fun. Up next, got a... would I say personal favorite? I don't know. I like this track. This is one of the better versions of it, and I'm finding out I have a little bit more time than I originally budgeted for because I'm always terrible at planning that out. This is Brown Eyed Women. Self-explanatory. Enjoy.
Lila Jones went to meet her guy. up the oak and plow the fields around. Gone are the days when the ladies say please. Jimmy Jack Jones, won't you come to me? Now I'm living in Red Grenadine. The bottle was dusty, but the liquor was clean. Sound of the thunder with the rain pouring down, and it looks like the old. Looks like the old man's getting old.
All right, so those brown-eyed women. I like that version a lot. Jerry sounds great, like he does on this entire show. So I'm going to try to keep repeating myself. After that is Mama Tried, which is a Merle Haggard song, and it's great, but again, we're going to be skipping it because there are better things ahead and we have to fit this within a certain amount of time, which is, you know, always a shame. I wish I could sit on here all day, but unfortunately that is not the reality of things. Up next, this is a big one because, so up next is Ro Jimmy, which they didn't play a lot, really. I mean, or at least in terms of what I've the shows that I've heard, Ro Jimmy is kind of a rarity, and it still is today, which is a shame because I love it. It's long and slow, which is good because it segues into when the show heats up insanely. We'll talk about it when we get there. I'm excited for what's up next after Ro Jimmy, but Ro Jimmy is one of my absolute favorites. Just let it guide you along. Just, you know, relax on into it. It's a nice little 12-minute song, but just, you know, go with the flow. This is Ro Jimmy from Barton Hall, 1977. Enjoy. Thank you. Okay, you just heard Road Jimmy, and now we're at the big one. If this entire concert were to be known for one, I guess, series of songs, even though I really consider them one, it would be the Scarlet Fire, which I'm about to play for you, and we'll kind of segue into the second hour of the show. I mean, I could sit and talk endlessly about these two. They're so good that I was able to write an entire paper about them. But I mean, I'm struggling to find the words for it because I really just have to play it. I think I may have played it on the show before in the past, but it's incredible. Jerry is at his best here. Everybody here is at their best. Donna sounds incredible. The jamming is tight. The solos are great. Everything just kind of works together perfectly as it should. There's no fat on this whatsoever, and it's so iconic. This pairing of songs is, I don't know. I think I'm speaking too much. I kind of just want to let the songs speak for themselves. But my favorite little detail is that whenever the band puts out an official release of a concert, they cut out the tuning and the chatter in between songs. Just, you know, to save time so they don't have to press an extra LP because of all the extra time that adds and whatever. For this one, though, they leave it in because it features one of the more iconic parts of this entire show, which is Bobby asking everybody to take a step back and Jerry saying, oh, everybody up here is getting awfully crushed. And Take a Step Back has a weird little history in the fact that there have been 23 instances at Grateful Dead shows where they've had to play the exact same game. All right, everybody take a step back. You're going to hear it when we start, and it's incredible. This is two songs stitched together. It's going to be about 30 minutes without me talking, and I'm just going to let everything speak for itself. This is possibly my favorite live performance of anything ever. I struggle to think of anything that I enjoy as much as this, anything that I come back to as consistently as this, and anything that I keep finding new things that I love about this version every time I listen to it. And I hope that y'all have a similar experience because it's incredible. It's unlike anything else. This has been Harrison. You were listening to 91.5 WMFO, Medford Trust Freeform Radio. This is the end of what would normally be Global Grooves. Shout out Jake. And we're going to move into Stranger Waves after that. But thanks for sticking with me for this first hour. And I hope you stick around for the second because this is when stuff gets really good. This is the Scarlet Fire from Barton Hall. Enjoy.
All right, now we're going to... to play everybody's favorite fun game, Move Back. Now, when I tell you take a step back, everybody take a step back, right?
Right.
Okay, take a step back. And take another step back. And take yet another step back. And another. Take a step back. Everybody feel better? What do you mean, no?
All these people in front are getting horribly smashed here. So that means all you people in the back have to move back.
Or feel
just
real
move
guilty.
Back some.
Then all your friends up front won't be real bug-eyed.
Look, that's in her eyes.